Now today, we want to take some lessons from chapter 3 of Paul's second letter to Timothy. When we commenced this series of studies a few days ago, I commenced by reading the closing verses of chapter 3. Now today, I want to read the whole of this short chapter. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that chapter. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to give thee thanks for thy kindness, for thy mercy, and for thy grace. We thank thee for sending thy beloved Son to die on Calvary's cross. We thank thee, O God, for the salvation that is provided in the person of thy Son. And today we would thank thee for every believer who rejoices in this great salvation and gives glory to thy name. Wilt thou even now, in mercy, look down upon all who are listening to this broadcast. May thy blessing be their daily portion, for the Lord Jesus' name's sake we ask it. Amen. Now, in turning your attention to chapter 3, and this is now our fourth lesson from 2 Timothy, I want you to take some special note of the opening verse of this chapter. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. On the strength of that, I want to say a few words to you this morning regarding difficult times. But then later on, when we come down to verse 10, Paul begins to give what he calls a personal testimony. And then he begins at verse 12 to deal with Timothy's private training. And then he concludes the chapter by setting before us again certain things relative to positive truth. Now we start off with the perilous times. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now the translators of the Bible from the original languages had a great difficulty in finding a word in the English language by which to translate the original word in this verse. And so the translators of the King James Version used the word perilous, which is quite an impressive word, but still, nevertheless, it fails to give the full meaning of the original word. Some translators use the word difficult. This know also in the last days difficult times shall come. And I think all of us at the present time, if we're intelligent at all, we will agree that that word difficult describes more or less the days in which we now live. We are living in difficult times. But other men translating the scriptures used another word. Some people used the word hard. This know also in the last days hard times shall come. Then others went a little further and said the only word in the English language that came anywhere near the true meaning was the word fierce. This know also in the last days fierce times shall come. Now actually, you would require to add all these words together to come somewhat near the true depth of meaning. This know also that in the last days there shall be difficult, hard, perilous, fierce times. After all, you and I, if we are conversant with what's going on in the world today, we know it takes all these words to describe the character of the age in which we live. And so what Paul wrote here in chapter 3, while it was a message to meet the need of Timothy at that time, nevertheless there's a prophetic flavor about it, insofar as it describes the very days in which our lot is cast. Now, after he mentions in verse 1 that there would be these difficult times, hard times, perilous times, he begins now to tell us some of the features or the characteristics of these difficult, perilous times. The first thing I suggest to you that he mentions is this, that these perilous times would be marked by moral disorders. For he says that men should be lovers of their own selves. That's what they would become. Now, that's wrong, of course. They ought not to be lovers of their own selves. The Bible teaching is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart. But you see, men have turned their affections away from God. They have turned their affections to themselves. Men have become lovers of their own selves. They like themselves. But that leads to something else, another moral disorder. They become covetous. Now, we're living in days that are marked by covetousness. Men covet what other people have. Why is it that nations covet what other nations have? There's a lot of covetousness between nations. And then you discover that there's a lot of covetousness even in family circles. One member of the family covets what another member of the family really possesses. And so you find that men are covetous today. That's the reason we have so much gambling going on. You know, it's not popular today if you speak against this craze of gambling. You'll not be popular because there are so many people who are engaged in it. But let us be fair about it, dear listener. gambling is there because people are covetous. They want to get what doesn't belong to them, and they want to obtain it in an easy way. That's why we have so many bingo halls. People are covetous. Oh, you say, but they go to these places to support charities. No, they don't. They go to these places to try to win the prize, because they're covetous, they want easy money. We're living in days of covetousness. That's why there's so much gambling today. That's why there's so much thieving today. That's why there's so many people using violence and robbery, because they're covetous. It's a moral disorder. And then that leads to something else. Not only are men lovers of themselves and covetous, they become boasters. They're boasting today. Why, you only require to read the news or listen to some of the speeches and find how men are boasting about themselves. Some boast about what they have already done. Others are boasting about what they're about to do or what they're willing to do. Nations are boasting. Individuals are boasting. And men today have become boasters. In our day and generation, we have seen these boasters rise, make their great boasts, and after a few years, they're gone, buried, and others rise up in their place. Then men become proud. Now, pride, you remember, was the downfall of Lucifer, who was son of the morning. Lucifer, who became Satan. Lucifer, who fell and became the dragon. Lucifer fell because of pride. Then Adam and Eve in the garden were brought down because of the pride of life. Pride is something that God hates. God hates even a proud look. Yet he says here that men would be lovers of themselves, they'd be covetous, they'd be boasters, they'd be proud. It goes a little further into the area of moral disorder. That leads to blaspheming. They would be blasphemers. Now remember, blaspheming is speaking against God. And there was a time when very few people would be so blatant as to blaspheme the name of God. But today it's a popular thing. And people are proud of it today, that they step out into the public arena, so to speak, and raise their fist into the face of Almighty Eternal God. And they're blaspheming the very name of God. So far as they are concerned, there's no God. And you know, when a man has got no God, and he doesn't believe in heaven, and he doesn't believe in hell, he believes that you're born and you live and you die, and that's all about it, that man, my friend, can wreck his own life and wreck the lives of all who are contaminated with him. Men today are blasphemers, speaking against God. May God have mercy on them. Then it leads to something else, disobedient to parents. Was there ever a time when so many parents went to court and admitted to the judge that their children, perhaps their boys or their girls, were out of their control? People have been unable to control their own children, and children are disobedient to parents. There was a time when parents had just to say the word, and children had to obey. If they didn't obey, then they were punished. There was a time in school that children had to obey the teacher. If they disobeyed the teacher or disobeyed the principal, they were punished accordingly, and the punishment suited the crime. But today, children can be disobedient to parents, and the worst feature of it is this, that children are now able to take their parents to court. Oh, my friend, listen, the Bible tells us there would come the day when there would be this moral disorder and children would be disobedient to their parents. That leads to something else, unthankful and unholy. Now, I ask you in all fairness, don't you think these things describe the days in which we live? And it leads on to the fact that without natural affection, but here is where it all leads to, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says to Timothy, from such turn away, And the message to Timothy is relevant to every believer today, every Christian. The message to you regarding these things is this: from such, turn away. But now, he still goes on regarding these people who have been engulfed in these moral disorders, and he shows to us the methods of deception. For these sort, he said, they'll creep into houses, and they'll lead captive those simple women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning but never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Now you see, there's a lot of people today who profess that they're anxious to get the truth, but they're being deceived. Now notice the methods of deception, creeping into houses. That's exactly what the enemy did in the Garden of Eden. He crept in with stealth. He deceived Mother Eve. She fell for his blasphemy. He trapped her in when he spoke against God, and she believed the lie of the devil. And we find people today who say they're anxious to come to the knowledge of the truth, but they're lending their ear to the voice of the enemy instead of lending their ear to the voice of the Word of God. But now look, he says, these times shall only go so far and no further. They're men of corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. And they'll just be allowed to go so far, and then they'll be manifest in all their folly. And people will know then what they really are. But now Paul says, here is some encouragement for the last days. And the encouragement he gives now is simply this. First of all, he lays down his own personal testimony. He says to Timothy, Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now that's where it starts, what Paul taught, his doctrine. His manner of life, that was his deportment. And then he goes on to say that how in the midst of all his persecutions, the Lord delivered him. He speaks of his deliverance. Now it starts off with his doctrine, what the man taught. You know, it does make a difference what a man teaches. More or less, if you listen to a man's teaching, you listen to a man's doctrine, if you have any discernment at all, you can tell what manner of man he is. If his doctrine lines up with the teaching of the Word of God, you can almost rest assured he's a true man. But if there are some flaws in his teaching, things that are contrary to the teaching of the Word of God, then you must treat that man with some suspicion. There's a flaw in what he teaches. But Paul says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. He was not ashamed of what he taught. And we should not be ashamed of the doctrines of the Word of God. We're living in days when people are telling us that we don't need doctrine today, we need more practice. No, my friend, you cannot build a superstructure on a weak foundation. You need the solid groundwork first. And the groundwork of Christian practice is Christian teaching. How will you know what to do unless, first of all, you know what the Bible teaches? Thou hast fully known my doctrine. Doctrine is the foundation. And you must lay a solid, four-square foundation before you can build the superstructure. The superstructure, I suggest to you, comes next, the manner of life, his deportment. You see, Paul's belief and Paul's behavior were in agreement. What Paul taught, then that was what he practiced. So therefore he says, first of all, you know my doctrine, you know what I taught. Then my manner of life. You know how I lived. Here was his deportment in life. No matter where you found Paul, you'll find his life in agreement with what he taught. He wasn't one of these kind of men that said, don't do what I do, but do what I tell you to do. That was not the kind of man Paul was. Paul could say, follow me in all things, because he was following the Lord. He was a true-born leader. He taught and he lived according to the moral standards of the Word of God. And then again, he said, you also know something about my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. these were the things that characterized his manner of life. He had one purpose in life. He had one goal in life, and that was to serve his God acceptably and to serve him and finish his course with joy. He had a purpose in life, and all other things must be set to one side. For this one thing, he had a purpose in life. I wonder if we all have some purpose in life, a God-centered purpose. Then he had his faith, which had never been overthrown. There was long-suffering. There was his love and his patience. But he turns round to the other side now, and he says, all this brought on certain things from the world. I had persecutions, I had afflictions. These things came unto me, and Timothy remembers them well, for he had them at Antioch, he had them at Iconium, and at Lystra. He was persecuted from city to city for standing for the truth. But he says, I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. He speaks of his deliverance. Not deliverance from them, but deliverance out of them. That is, he went in, he passed through, he endured, and came out successfully at the other end. Then he moves on from here to give another form of encouragement. Timothy then has encouragement from the personal testimony of his great leader and trainer, the Apostle Paul. And then he has encouragement now from his own private training. Because he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so it would seem he's saying to Timothy, don't you expect anything different, Timothy. It was good enough for the Master, and it's good enough for us. If they did it to the Master, you can expect them to do it to you. And so what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ, they despised him and rejected him. They did the same to the great Apostle Paul and to the other apostles. Now he's saying to Timothy, who would come in and represent the next generation, they'll do the same to you. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Private training. He wants Timothy to remember now, to go back in memory to his early days. He wants him to think of what he was taught as a child. Now, we mentioned in a previous study how that Timothy was trained by a God-fearing grandmother and a God-fearing mother. Nothing said about his father. The possibility is his father may have died when he was a little boy, but his grandmother and his mother took an interest in him and trained him. Then the day came when he listened to Paul and Barnabas preach the word, and what he had learned as a child was confirmed to him, and it was then he was led to a knowledge of the truth, and he made Jesus Christ his Savior. And Paul reminds him of that here. He reminds him of the Holy Scriptures which he had been taught, which were able to make him wise unto salvation, and he strikes the vital time through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, while he has given him encouragement now from his own personal testimony and encouragement regarding his own private training, he says, but you've got a more sure word now in which you can rest. Here is positive truth, Timothy, the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, here was the truth of God, God inspired. This language suggests a body of language inbreathed with a spirit of divine life. There is the provision of the Scripture is given by God. There is the profitableness of Scripture, profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for discipline. There is the purpose of this God-breathed word, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, ready to meet with every emergency that he may be faced with in this life. Oh, there may be difficulties, perilous times, but there are encouragements for the man of God.